Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
I'm going to ask you to join us as we attempt to conclude our study of 1 Kings. We're in 1 Kings chapter 22. You'll recall at the end of chapter 21, Ahab, who is just famously wicked, repents. And he asks the Lord for mercy, and God amazingly chooses to show a degree of mercy to him, saying that the judgment God has promised on him will not happen in his lifetime. It will happen only after he dies. He's still under judgment. God doesn't just wipe it all away. But in the case of Ahab, God chose, because he humbled himself, to say, "I will bring the disaster on his house during his son's lifetime." Now in 1 Kings chapter 22, we read what follows. "There was a lull of 3 years without war between Aram and Israel. However, in the third year, King Jehoshaphat of Judah went to visit the king of Israel. The king of Israel had said to his servants, 'Don't you know that Ramoth-Gilead is ours? But we're doing nothing to take it from the king of Aram.' So he asked Jehoshaphat, 'Will you go with me to fight Ramoth-Gilead?' Jehoshaphat replied to the king of Israel, 'I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses.' But Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, 'First, please ask what the Lord's will is.' So the king of Israel gathered the prophets, about 400 men, and asked them, 'Should I go against Ramoth-Gilead for war, or should I refrain?' They replied, 'March up, and the Lord will hand it over to the king.' But Jehoshaphat asked, 'Isn't there a prophet of the Lord here anymore? Let's ask him.' The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 'There is still one man who can inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesies good about me, but only disaster. He is Micaiah, son of Imlah.' 'The king shouldn't say that,' Jehoshaphat replied. So the king of Israel called an officer and said, 'Hurry and get Micaiah, son of Imlah.' Now the king of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of Judah, clothed in royal attire, were each sitting on his own throne. They were on the threshing floor at the entrance to the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets were prophesying in front of them. Then Zedekiah, son of Chenaah, made iron horns and said, 'This is what the Lord says. You will gore the Arameans with these until they are finished off.' And all the prophets were prophesying the same: 'March up to Ramoth-Gilead and succeed, for the Lord will hand it over to the king.' The messengers who went to call Micaiah instructed him, 'Look, the words of the prophets are unanimously favorable for the king, so let your words be like theirs and speak favorably.' But Micaiah said, 'As the Lord lives, I will say whatever the Lord says to me.' So he went to the king, and the king asked him, 'Micaiah, should we go to Ramoth-Gilead for war, or should we refrain?' Micaiah told him, 'March up and succeed. The Lord will hand it over to the king.' But the king said to him, 'How many times must I make you swear not to tell me anything but the truth in the name of the Lord?' So Micaiah said, 'I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, "They have no master. Let everyone return home in peace."' So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Didn't I tell you he never prophesies good about me, but only disaster?" Then Micaiah said, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and the whole heavenly army was standing by him at his right hand and at his left hand. And the Lord said, 'Who will entice Ahab to march up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead?'" So one was saying this and another was saying that. Then a spirit came forward, stood in the Lord's presence, and said, "I will entice him." The Lord asked him, "How?" He said, "I will go and become a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets." Then he said, "You will certainly entice him and prevail. Go and do that." You see, the Lord has put a lying spirit into the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has pronounced disaster against you. Then Zedekiah, son of Chenaah, came up, hit Micaiah on the cheek, and demanded, "Did the Spirit of the Lord leave me to speak to you?" Micaiah replied, "You will soon see when you go to hide in an inner chamber on that day." Then the king of Israel ordered, "Take Micaiah and return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, 'This is what the king says, put this guy in prison and feed him only a little bread and water until I come back safely.'" But Micaiah said, "If you ever return safely, the Lord has not spoken through me." Then he said, "Listen, all you people." Then the king of Israel and Judah's king Jehoshaphat went up to Ramoth-Gilead. But the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you wear your royal attire." So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. Now the king of Aram had ordered his 32 chariot commanders, "Do not fight with anyone at all except the king of Israel." When the chariot commanders saw Jehoshaphat, they shouted, "He must be the king of Israel." So they turned to fight against him. But Jehoshaphat cried out. When the chariot commanders saw that he was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. But a man drew his bow without taking special aim and struck the king of Israel through the joints of his armor. So he said to his charioteer, "Turn around and take me out of the battle, for I'm badly wounded." The battle raged throughout that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Arameans. He died that evening, and blood from his wound flowed into the bottom of the chariot. Then the cry rang out in the army as the sun set, declaring, "Each man to his own city, and each man to his own land." So the king died and was brought to Samaria. They buried the king in Samaria. Then someone washed the chariot at the pool of Samaria. The dogs licked up his blood, and the prostitutes bathed in it, according to the word of the Lord that he had spoken. The rest of the events of Ahab's reign, along with all his accomplishments, including the ivory palace he built and all the cities he built, are written in the historical records of Israel's kings. Ahab rested with his fathers, and his son, Ahaziah, became king in his place. Jehoshaphat, son of Asa, became king over Judah in the fourth year of Israel's king Ahab. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became king. He reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Azubah, daughter of Shilhi. He walked in all the ways of his father Asa. He did not turn away from them, but did what was right in the Lord's sight. However, the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. Jehoshaphat also made peace with the king of Israel. The rest of the events of Jehoshaphat's reign, along with the might he exercised and how he waged war, are written in the historical records of Judah's kings. He eradicated from the land the rest of the male cult prostitutes who were left from the days of his father Asa. There was no king in Edom. A deputy served as king. Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold. But they did not go because the ships were wrecked at Ezion-Geber. At that time, Ahaziah, son of Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, "Let my servants go with your servants in the ships." But Jehoshaphat was not willing. Jehoshaphat rested with his fathers and was buried with them in the city of his ancestor David. His son Jehoram became king in his place. Ahaziah, son of Ahab, became king over Israel in Samaria in the 17th year of Judah's king Jehoshaphat. And he reigned over Israel 2 years. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He walked in the ways of his father, in the ways of his mother, and in the ways of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who had caused Israel to sin. He served Baal and bowed in worship to him. He angered the Lord God of Israel, just as his father had done. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
And is holding. First of all, there was a lull of 3 years without war between Aram and Israel. That's the opening line of this chapter. Remember that the chapter divisions were put in long after God gave us his word. God had pronounced judgment on Ahab. Ahab then repents. And God says the fulfillment of that judgment is going to be later. And so now this section starts off with a lull of 3 years without war between Aram and Israel. During that time, it seems like everything's fine. I mean, it's all good. And Jehoshaphat has made peace with Ahab, Jehoshaphat being the king of Judah. And so these are happy times, seemingly. But the wrath of God, the judgment of God, the fulfillment of God's promise is still going to happen. And you and I need to realize that sometimes when things seem horribly difficult, very painful, it's really tough, it's because in part we don't see the good that is about to come. And other times, when things seem really wonderful, it's really great. Everything's going fine. I'm doing well, thank you. It's because we don't realize that we're on our way toward a bridge that's out. Ahab is a king who has over and 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 over, despite multiple warnings from God, refused to repent. And God has said, judgment's coming. Jehoshaphat goes to visit Ahab, and they're getting along great. And Ahab says, you know, I've been thinking about going and attacking Ramoth-Gilead. I want to take that property back. Would you go with me? I think you could be a help. Jehoshaphat says, sure, man. I got your back. But shouldn't we ask God? That's something that Jehoshaphat believed in. Ahab, not so much. Ahab was curious as to what God might say, but he didn't base his decisions on what God said. And so he says, well, yeah, we can do that. So he summons about 400 prophets who are obviously a bunch of phony guys. These are just paid preachers who speak as if proclaiming the word of the Lord when what they're saying is not the word of the Lord. What they're saying is their own words. They borrow from each other. And many, many people who claim to be God's spokespeople are not speaking the word of the Lord. If you want to know what God says, this is the word of the Lord. And if what the preacher says, wherever you go to church, if what the preacher says lines up with this, good. But if what the preacher says is not consistent with Scripture, it's false. Don't care who said it. The Apostle Paul said, If anybody comes preaching another gospel other than the one we preach to you, he says, I don't care if it's an angel from heaven. I don't care if it's me. Doesn't matter who it is. Let that one be accursed. So, Jehoshaphat says, why don't we inquire of the Lord? Ahab sends for the prophets. They all tell him, hey, go for it. You can do this. Just go for it. And Jehoshaphat kind of notices these guys are not exactly, I don't think these are the Lord's prophets. He says, isn't there anybody left in your kingdom who's a prophet of the Lord? Ahab says, well, yeah, there's one guy. Can't stand him. He never has anything good to say about me. Why do you suppose that is? Okay? Because he's a wicked, wicked man. He doesn't like being told. So they go and they send for that guy. And that guy comes and he's warned ahead of time, look, the prophets are all in agreement that this is a good thing the king wants to do. You need to agree with them. He says, I'm just going to say what the Lord tells me to say. That's a real prophet. Micaiah, called on to speak, imitates the others. But he obviously imitates them in a way that you can tell he doesn't mean it. Okay? Because Ahab says to him, how many times do I have to tell you not to prophesy anything except the truth? Micaiah says, okay, I'll tell you the truth. And he proceeds to say, you're going to die. You're going to fall at Ramoth-Gilead. You're going to be destroyed. God's going to carry out what he's promised. And Ahab says, well, then I'm not going to Ramoth-Gilead. Is that what he says? No. Once again, he says, lock this guy up until I come back safely. And he goes out to Ramoth-Gilead. And Jehoshaphat, who said, we need to hear from a real prophet. Now, having heard from a real prophet is like, well, you know, didn't say anything about me. He says, you're going to die. You know, I can live with that. So they go to Ramoth-Gilead. Now, I mean, I'm thinking I wouldn't do this. You know, if I'm Jehoshaphat, I'd say, look, you know, Ahab, I think you might want to stay home. But no, they all go out to war. And Ahab says, I'm going to dress like one of the men. I want to get out there in the battle. I want to be a part of this. Okay? Arr. And Jehoshaphat's like, I'm just going to wear my robes. I'm more comfortable dressed as a king because I am a king after all. What he doesn't know is that the enemy army is gunning for only one person, and that's the king. They think, I mean, if you don't understand, there's a lot of humor in the Bible, then you haven't read your Bible carefully. Jehoshaphat is dressed up in his fancy robes. Ahab's dressed as a soldier. The whole enemy special forces, the charioteers, 32 of them, take off after Jehoshaphat. And when he realizes what's going on, he cried out. That doesn't mean he went, ha ha! Ahoy! It means he went, ah! Okay? And they said, that's not Ahab. I love this stuff. And so they turn away from chasing Jehoshaphat, fortunately for Jehoshaphat, and they don't know which one's Ahab. But one guy draws his bow back and shoots at random, not even aiming for anything. It's not like I'm going to try and hit that guy. He just shoots toward the army of Israel. And that arrow, released at random, not really aimed by the hand of man, doesn't just hit Ahab, it hits him where the plates of his armor join. In other words, it got him in one of the only spots on his body where the arrow could penetrate. And man, does it penetrate. It's a fatal wound. Ahab died. And the blood in the chariot got washed out. And when the blood was washed out, the dogs licked it up. And the reason that detail is in there is not just to be gross or gruesome. It's because God had already spoken through a prophet saying, that's what's going to happen to you. How did God know that's going to happen? Because God knew exactly where that arrow was going to land. Now, some of us have had painful things happen in our lives. And if you are trying to decide whether or not God is trustworthy, and you find out God's in control even of seemingly random things, it can make you feel like, well, then I don't trust God. That would be a huge mistake. If you come to know and trust the Lord, then you will take great comfort even when painful things happen, knowing that God is at work and somehow this is going to turn out for the good. You remember a guy named Joseph? Joseph got kidnapped by his brothers, sold as a slave, and then wrongly imprisoned. But God took him from that place and made him second in command over the whole country of Egypt. And he was able to look back on his life and say to his brothers who had sold him into slavery, don't feel badly about what happened. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. God knows what he's doing. And it's for the good of those who love him. So the question is not, is it for good? The question is it for your good? Do you love him? Honestly. Or do you love what you want and think God ought to help you get it? If you love God and want whatever God wants, you're going to come out great. The ending is glorious. All the other events of Ahab's reign, along with all his accomplishments, including the ivory palace he built and all the cities he built, are written in the historical records of Israel's kings. You understand that? As we've said about some others before him, all the other accomplishments really don't matter. What really matters, the heart of the story, is his relationship with God. That's the only thing that lasts. Everything else is gone. How many of you have ever seen pictures of the ivory palace that he built? There aren't any. Okay? It's gone. It's gone. What about the cities? Can you name the cities that he built? No, you can't. Because it's nothing. Gone. Jesus and his disciples are walking out of the temple in Jerusalem, and they say, teacher, look at these huge stones. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. You look at these stones. Not one of them will be left standing on another. It's all going to be torn down. The only thing that matters is that which lasts forever, and that's your relationship with God. You are either with him in glory or you are in the lake of fire. Those are the two options. There are no others. Nothing is as serious as this. Nothing matters anywhere nearly as much. And then you get a summary statement regarding Jehoshaphat. And then you get more of an introductory statement about Israel's king, Ahaziah, the son of Ahab. You know, we've said it over and over, but all these folks died. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. You're so young. How can you possibly want to think about death? Because all of us are going to have to face it one day. And I want you to understand, everything rises or falls on your relationship with Jesus Christ. What kind of scholar you are, what kind of athlete you are, none of that is going to matter in 100 years. Whether or not you know Jesus, that's going to matter forever.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number.
866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.